No, I don't know if I should do this now. But if you must please try and come tonight also. If you're bored, it's going to be amazing. No, Dr. Mark Mankes is preaching, and it's just nice to, what's the word I'm looking for? Ondersteun. Support people. But I don't know if we're going to support him if we're too many or too little. Because he's... Anyway, let me go on. Okay, the topic is exponential. Is that spelled correctly? Okay, now you must forget about that. The next slide there. Can you see the different colors there? The light and too dark. Now, what do you think that is? It's not Ebola. Well, it might be if it's the inverse. Anyway, so what do you think that is? You can guess. Don't worry, you can guess. You can... What? Sorry? Yes, but what are the different colors? Why do you think some areas are darker than the others? Nobody wants to. Let me just tell you, I looked it up on Google, and there are very different websites, but you can actually also color in China and maybe even India. It's not colored in there, but... So, anyway, what that is those are the countries where people work the most, working hours. And I looked, some other websites said even China and India you can color in. So, now we can... Where is the wealth of this world? Huh? More or less the same places. Isn't it? Yeah. So, oh yes, true. Country with the oil, they will be the wealthiest. But I'm talking about diligence. Now, Scripture says, Proverbs 10, verse 4. Now you can go on. Keep that in the back of your mind. Proverbs 10, verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Now, we're not talking about money. Not at all. But Scripture has, throughout Scripture, there's quite a lot to be said about diligence. And there at the bottom, you'll see some other definitions or that can help you grasp this thing, diligence. And I'm not... I do remember 2 or 3 years ago, Pastor Fred had a series about on diligence, and we also preached it here a little bit. It's become one of my favorite topics. Now, I don't want to just repeat what I said then, but I think it's a bit different. But diligence means to be incisive, to have determination, or to be eager. And the next scripture, Proverbs 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Okay, now think of that map again. Okay. We can say what we want to, but we know which countries in the world rule the world. We know that they say their voice counts more than ours. We know that it's not Namibia. We know that when America decides they're going to that country for war, it's not like a lot of people are going to stop them or even try and stop them. It's because they're just too big and too powerful. It's coincidence, but those are also the countries where people work the hardest. They actually put their hands to work. Carol will know. I've heard Mark Tibet told me that Americans work quite a lot. I'm not here to promote here this morning that we should work ourselves into the ground, but there's some scriptural background support that, like the scripture says, the hand of the diligent will rule. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Now, we're going to go get away from this. I'm not talking about that we should work. We should work. That's part of it. But I think we sometimes... As charismatic Christians, we bring across an incorrect picture of God in the following way. We would have meetings or big events, etc. And then it's almost we give people, and I think we also use that kind of words, is that we're bringing something new from God. This is a new thing from God. This is a new word. This is a fresh word. This is a something. And you know what? That's technically speaking not true. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're not bringing something new. We're just bringing something that we haven't seen yet. But He's been like that. Didn't we sing that the third last song? He's unchangeable, unshakable. He hasn't changed. But we bring the message across sometimes as if God has changed now. Now this is the latest thing. Now we have been blessed to see another aspect of God which we haven't seen previously. But we take that mentality of its change. Or let me say, we rather take away this diligent thing. Which means, diligent just meaning being persistently persistent. Any German people here? Please raise your hands. We love you. But, no, not but. But I've seen, sometimes I get to work with German people, maybe it's a plumber or something, you know. Then I would try and fix something at my house, then he comes, and if he sees it's not done the correct way, he makes it a point of taking me through it slowly, and painfully, that this, no, this is not how you do it. This is how you do it. Precisely the right way. Are you with me? And you would see Germany is quite dark in that map. Because they work. And they're quite a small nation. But they rule Europe, basically. Diligent. They make a point of telling you, that's not the right way. Do it this way. But they pick the fruits of that mentality. Praise God we have them here. We need to learn from them. Are you with me? Where am I? Yeah. So what I wanted to say is, in charismatic churches, we lose this. We lose it and we must get it back and we must hold on to it and never lose it again, is to be diligent. Meaning, doing the same things, the correct things, the just very simple, basic spiritual things, and we just keep on doing them. We don't change. But we're like boats without rudders sometimes. The wind blows in that direction, so the boat turns. Then we get another wind, then the boat turns. And God is not like that. What challenges me about Him in a nice and beautiful way is, you know, we can mess up in life. If you then go on your knees and you come back to God, we always expect like, oh, it's going to be this angry. Then you know what we get? We get the same, the loving God that says, are you sorry? That's fine. Let's go on. The same. And you're like, but you should act differently now. I was naughty. And he says, no, I'm the same. God surprises me with how good He is. But it's just because we can't grasp Him, but He's the same. 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish and at peace. Okay, I think it's the word diligent again that I give some definitions there. To make effort, be prompt or earnest, endeavor, labor, study. So the scripture here says we must be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish, talking about when Jesus comes back. So it talks about a process that we have to be, that we have to engage in constantly. And that is the process of being diligently trying to become more like Christ. Etc. But we, and I mean not every one of us, and I'm going to use the example here. When we spoke about after the men's camp, this year's men's camp, when we spoke with Yaku, I'm going to support what Yaku says here. I'm going to support him wholeheartedly. One of the biggest things, a bit of a big thing, I don't know how to put it, but what that we had to now get the message across to some of the young guys, and including us, which was amazing. The men's camp was a life-changing experience. But we had to help people to understand we only have one again next year. So there's a whole year in between our men's camps. Now, what's not necessarily from God, men, is to run to all the other camps that men have. And I do not know how many there are. I'm not knocking any of them, but It's not necessarily God's plan for you now to run after occasion, to meeting. It is more about implementing diligently, persistently, persistent what He told you at the men's camp to do. For a whole year now. Do that. So that next year I can meet with you again, then I'll tell you again, and then we do that for a year. Are you with me? But we're like microwave Christians. 2 minute noodles. Ugh, I'm so bored of my own examples now by now. You must be also. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says, and I am not saying don't go to any other meetings. I'm just saying that your fruit, the blessings that you want to pick, is not going to be in running to those meetings. It's going to be in you diligently exercising what God told you at that men's camp. Is you need to be a better husband, for example. You need to love your wife more. Don't run to meetings. Love her diligently. For example. That's just an example. And Scripture is full of this. I want to use another example. You know, I'm sure my dad did things wrong. I don't know of a lot that he did wrong. My dad passed away. But the one thing that he did, and it's not, maybe it's not only that, but he instilled things into my life that I carry with as a legacy. And one of them is like, through bad or good, my dad would pray every day. And he didn't make a scene there in the kitchen, hallelujah, you know, pray. He would go into his room, and then sometimes, he's praying, on his knees praying. But, you know, he's praying tomorrow, he prayed yesterday, he's going to pray in 2 days, 3 days. He prays every day. He does it diligently. He doesn't stop. He's learned something. And he was in a religious church where we can knock them so often nowadays. But I want that. I need that diligence in my life. That is what cultivates fruit in my life. I use this also as an example. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts and fruit. The Bible speaks of gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit and fruits of the Holy Spirit. Gifts is obviously something you get given. Have you heard of godly men before that they're big evangelists or whatever, and then they fall into sin? And then you've heard of this. Then later on you'd hear, but that evangelist was already in sin, but he was still busy with his meetings, the church things. And you know what? Miracles happened in those meetings while he was in sin. That's because the Word of God says gifts. It's a gift. It's irrevocable. I give it to you. I'm not going to take it back. So sometimes, no, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I'm just trying to explain to you the difference between a gift and a fruit. The one you're given, and God says, I give it to you. You must be a good steward of it and not mess up with it. The other one is fruit. They don't come overnight. That's a seed that's planted. Then it's a tree. Then it's cold. Then there's frost and dew. What do we get here? East wind. Then you need to give it some manure and water it. And then if you're lucky, in Namibia, you get fruit. In Swakop, my goodness, we've had arbor plants. My wife loves arbors. So we chuck the arbor pips out just in the garden. They grow to this high and then they die. But the point is, fruit is not just given. I don't just have fruits, long-suffering, patience. It gets cultivated. And that's something in our church, in church in general, with the world looks to us. They want some diligent Christians that are just the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Maybe not, well, let's say forever. Amen. Are you with me? Because there's a reason. No, that's not a reason, but diligence has some benefits, which we'll get to right at the end. 1 Corinthians 16. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. From the Amplified. Be alert and on your guard. Stand firm in your faith, your conviction respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. The trust and holy fervor born of faith and a part of it. Act like men and be courageous. grow in strength. This is, you mean, if you analyze this scripture, it's quite a heavy one. It says that we must watch and stand firm. For those of you who don't know, we're in a spiritual war, which is not going to end. You can use this as an example. We did it when we were on Boy Scouts. I don't know what you call it. We always had to stand on guard. There were no enemies, but we had to do it. But so you hope you don't get one between 1 and 3 o'clock in the mornings, because that's like when nobody can stay awake. But if you will know that if you're in a war and you let down that guard, if that guy at between 1 and 3 sleeps, that's when a mess is going to come in. That's when the enemy is going to come in. And God says, stand firm, watch. Be on your guard constantly, hour after hour after hour after hour. There's so many things in our life that God, it's not big things He's asking of us. It's not like fast for 40 days. It's just pray every day. Just read the Word every day. Not for 5 hours. Just read it every day. Amen. Act like men, it says there at the end. So I was thinking now, I'm a man, I'm a husband, and I know exactly what this means. It means just to do the things that I need to do as a husband, which is not so much, but constantly, persistently, all the time. Amen. Okay, but what I also want to get across, to which I felt this week, and maybe is more where the sermon comes from, I believe God wants us to be specifically now diligent in encouraging one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9. And I think we must broaden our understanding of encouragement a little bit. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that we, whether we are awake or awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now that word encourage means to exhort, to invite, to invoke, to comfort, to consolate, etc., etc. And I'm going to get to that later, but there's a scripture that says, especially as the end is coming closer, as we see, you know, the world is starting to show signs of, you know, it can't go on like this for another 1,000 years. Especially then, encourage one another. And I think, believe, we must get to a place where this encouragement is done out of love. Hopefully I'm not confusing everybody. But you can, the Lord speaks to us. Every now and then you'll see somebody, he's in a small group, he's not coming to small group anymore, he's not coming to church anymore, you can just sense something is not right in his life spiritually. Now encouragement also means is that the Lord is showing you that. Go and help the man. Go and lift him up. We'll get to some scriptures where it says, stir him up. I get, and God 10 times more than me, 100 times more, I get discouraged, disappointed. When you see, hear a story like this, oh, you know, Joshua just came to Christ, my friend. He got baptized. All that stuff. And 3 months afterwards, where is Joshua now? So many people come. I don't know if it happens in our church, but I'm just saying we should guard against them, and God must help us. People can't just come in, have an experience with God, and then we lose them. We must hold on to them. We must encourage that brother. If we see, oh my goodness, he's going back to that bar again on Friday nights. Don't rebuke the man or anything like that. Encourage him in love. Say, no brother, come back. We have to be diligent in that. I use myself as an extremely good example. Do you know how many years people invested in me before I was anything like looking like a Christian? No, I think I looked quite like a Christian. But you know how much baggage I carried with me for years? I couldn't do anything on my own. Years. And I don't know, hundreds, but tens of people for very long times encouraged me. No, Theo, stop worrying about that again. Come here. Come here. That's why I'm where I am. That's why I am where I am today. And we should ask God to put our senses on, our radar on, that we see those people. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possesses knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. We need to build people up in love. That previous scripture says, encouraging one another. We have to do it in love. You know, if we... Now, I need to be careful with this. I'm not condoning sin in any way. We're not a church where we're just happy with sin. We're not happy with sin. But people are going to make mistakes. And scripture also says that love covers a multitude of sins. So if a brother of you fall, it is your work, it's my work to go to him in love and say, listen, what happened here? You can talk to him straight, but say, this must stop now. But so many times we leave those people and, nah, he's turned his back on God. I'm not talking to him. God doesn't do that. Amen. All of us sitting here tonight know of somebody that has walked with Christ and not even so far back, and he's now a little bit off. He's not coming to small group. Those are the people now that we must go and help. Why? I also had another reason why I think, oh, it's this holiday thing in Swakopmund coming. We're talking about the holiday earlier every year. I've heard previously, earlier this year, that Yaku has already started speaking about the holiday. It's only October, people. Holiday starts in December. But we all know what happens in December. Everybody becomes undiligent. Or that's what the devil wants you to do. And he gets it right with Christians. Now I want to get over that. I want to conquer that. My holidays are going to be godly. Amen? And we should be stronger after that. So I don't even want to talk about that holiday anymore. But I know that's the plan of the enemy. All the Bintuk and Cape Town and Joburg people come and they all become undiligent here, if I can call it. And then we want to flow with that flow. No, we don't flow there. We stay diligent. Amen. Small groups might stop for a little bit. That doesn't mean your relationship with God stops. Amen. Carol, amen. Thank you. Hebrews 10 verse 22. I'm almost finished. Well, no, not yet. Let us draw near. When a pastor sees the people are losing him, that's what he says. We're lying. Lots of times we're lying. We're only halfway. Let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us consider how to stir up one another. That's actually an act that we have to do. We have to say, Saki kum, ja weet jy's, no, English. I know you struggle to pray for people, but come here, come, let's pray for this guy. It's okay, come on. That's stirring up. It's like, help the guy. No, I'm afraid of this. I can't, you know, we've got so many issues. Let's just help the guy. Let's just get him. Come. Let's do it. No, I'm with you. Not alone. I'm doing it with you. Stir up good works. No, I don't have faith to pray for people. I don't know if they're going to get healed. Well, let's try. Let's go to the hospital. Pray for somebody. Okay, now I'm going a bit overboard. But that's what it is. It's not, let's just make it uncomplicated. It's just helping people with our hands. It's just being active, helping them. We want to complicate stuff so much. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 1. Yes, this is what I want to say. Am I not, Paul is writing to the church in Corinthians. And I like this, love this example, but it's a challenging one. Am I not an apostle, a special messenger? Am I not free, unrestrained, and exempt from any obligation? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you yourselves not the product and the proof of my workmanship in the Lord? Workmanship in Afrikaans is vakmanskap. I explain it like this. It's if you're a carpenter and you've made this podium. You've spent hours on it, carving it out, whatever you did. Paul is saying, you Corinthians, you, this is you're mine. I spent the hours in sawing here and skeer here and scarf daar so. I invested the hours into you my product. Now disciple making, we can make this prescriptively complicated. Unbelievably complicated. How to make a disciple? A disciple is making a table spiritually. It is spending time with that person and saying, come, let me help you. Not here, not there. It's very easy. And we have to be diligent in that process. And I'll show you later on why. So in small group context, let's bring it down to our church. It is just spending, praying for people, the same people that have started to irritate you because they're not growing or they're in your way. It's the same people. Paul says, I worked on you. You look like you look because I worked. How many people look more like Christ because of my direct influence in their lives? Because of your direct influence. That's what we should ask. That's diligence. That's diligence. I'm challenged by that. Because as you become a pastor or whatever, you know, it's easy to be hands off. It's like, oh, just preach to people on Sundays and then you go home. My hands need to be dirty. Timothy 2 verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. There is that word again, workman. We're working with people and we should not stop working with people. We should diligently work with them. This aspect, let me read the last scripture. Or should I? The second scripture that we read is, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. So it says, the hand of the person that persistently, constantly, does the same thing over and over again, he will rule. I think we can pull this diligence thing right throughout every and any aspect in our lives. And I've got a few examples that I need to share with you because they're extremely challenging to me. Because we can overcomplicate this diligence so much. Let me use an example. I'm a father. I've got a daughter. I've said my daughter is in one of three states. She's either well-behaved, or she's naughty, or the third one is she's becoming naughty. I can sometimes see, now I come home after work, now shame, I don't want to be this disciplined person. But I can come home, I come home from work, now I'm tired. The last thing I want to do is have issues. I just want to, I don't know, go surf or lie in front of the TV. But now, I can sometimes see my daughter is now in that third stage. She's becoming naughty. I can pick it up. So she's testing me. She's trying me. Now I know what I need to do. Diligent is I need to stop it now. Not wait until everybody's crying and something is broken. I need to stop it now. But I don't want to. Because I'm tired. I want to surf. I want to watch TV. Diligence means put off the TV and go and sort it out in a nice way. This is my daughter. Now, sometimes it entails a little bit of a hiding, but not always. But it just means doing that diligently. Diligently. It's simple things. Are you following what I'm saying? It could be the Holy Spirit is not asking you to pray or fast for 40 days or 10 days. He's just asking you to pray every day, 10 minutes. I don't get excited about when people come to me and it's, I read the whole New Testament this weekend. Okay? I know what about Monday? Now it's 10 chapters. Tuesday, 1. Wednesday, nothing. No, I'm not excited about that. I'm excited about 10 minutes every day. Like my dad praying, not making a scene for 5 hours. No, just every day. That's what excites me. That's what excites the Holy Spirit. You know, we can make this the voice of God so complicated. But in most cases, it just tells you, now you put off that TV now, you're going to wash the dishes. Your wife's tired. Me? Dishes? I must say, I hate our dishwasher. Because I have to clean stuff before I put it in there. I don't get that. You're there to clean it. So now I can't put in dirty dishes in the dishwasher. I have to clean them half. But I'm like, by that time they're almost clean. I'll just wash them all. But these are the things the Holy Spirit tells you. But oh no, that's not the Holy Spirit. You know? What are the, some of the other things? I actually wrote to Daniel. Was is called good? At work, it's like, stop reading spiritual stuff at work on the internet. Stop it. You must write your email, do your work diligently. We can get so spiritual about stuff that just shouldn't be so spiritual. Get your deadline done for once. And stop blaming other people. I didn't say this in the first. My boss, big boss, he's going to retire soon. The only thing I remember, I hardly saw him at work. I mean, saw him in the corridors. But what I do know is, he was always the first man at work. Just every day. And I know he did a lot of his own stuff and personal things, but he's the boss of the company. But the man was there every day. Just diligently being there constantly. Those are leaders. Okay, the last scripture, Romans 12, verse 8. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Leading as a husband is not so complicated. It is doing a small amount of things just diligently. Being a small group leader is not so complicated. It's just doing a couple of things constantly, diligently. The same over and over again. But it is painfully difficult sometimes for us as human beings. It's just to do the same thing over and over again. Are you with me? Now, I made some calculations. Can you see there? But Robert can check it afterwards if it's correct. But I looked at this. Now we're getting back to exponential. Remember the topic of the sermon, exponential. I am about a Christian for about 15 years, or less. If I made a disciple, and that person made a disciple, only once in 2 years, 2 years. So I take 2 years with one person, and then the next 2 years, he takes 2 years to make another one, and I also take 2 years to make another one. 2 years. I should have been close to 500 disciples now. Not Christians, people that can plant churches. 500. I don't know about you, but I've got about 40 years left to live. 50. Somewhere there. So, if I didn't get it right up to now, God knows I've got enough time to get it right. If we as a church, let's say we're about 100 people. If we do the same, only once every 2 years, one of us makes a disciple, in other words, spends and invests time in one person. Where am I now? In 10 years, we're going to be at 3,000 people. 12 years, 6,000. At about 20 years, we'll be close to 100,000 people. Is that asked a lot? We know we're not going to get, well, I don't know if we're going to get to that numbers. But being diligent, that's like, it's going to become exponential at some time. When we just have to get the basic things right, and at some stage it's going to explode, and we can save the whole world. But you know what? And this is why it surprises me so much, because I am an evangelist of heart. And at first, I just wanted to have the big meetings and get everybody saved. And we still should do that. But I am a firm, firm, firm believer in the way that we run church, and that is small groups. But it doesn't look spectacular the first year. It's only six of us. But after 10 years, it's 600. Then it's 6,000. Then it's the whole nation. Are you with me? If we just do what we do diligently and stop falling off the wagon every 6 months, we'll get the whole world saved. We can. And I'm living proof of that. My dad didn't do miraculous and amazing things, and his dad also. There's a whole legacy, and I love it, that I'm carrying because of his dad, my grandfather, which I never knew, that just spent time with God,
You know, and it was in a traditional church. And it flowed to my dad. Now it's me and I have to be a good steward of it. Amen. Can we stand? Is there somebody that can play a little bit here at the end? I mean, at the back. Let's stand. Diligent. God wants us to be diligent.